Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see you on another Sunday that the Lord has made on this June 13th in the year 2021. And we are glad to be here one more time to study together the Word of the Lord. I'm glad to see each one of you. And if we have any new people with us, we are glad that you are with us. We welcome you. We all welcome you. If there's not anyone new and we're all regular members of the class, I'm glad to see each one of you. I encourage you to pray for one another daily. Keep me in your prayers as well, and I pray for you. Today we have another ambitious study. You know, God's word is full and rich and overflowing, and so we don't have a minute to waste in our class in the word of the Lord. So today we'll be continuing in Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 48, on the faithful and the unfaithful servant or steward. That has been our topic. And today will be part four, our concluding study. So as I have said, I encourage you to have, of course, your Bible. This is a Bible class. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. Most all of you know that, but someone may not know it. And I also encourage you to have pen and paper. So let's go to our Lord in prayer. Others will be joining us. They'll get here when they get here. But you all know time does not wait on anyone. So we have to go on. And then whenever others get here, we welcome them. Father, we come before you. We come before you, our Father, who art in heaven. We hallow your great name. We bless your name. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We bless your name. You are holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Give reverence to you. We praise your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loved us and washed us from our sins, lives for us. And we thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, for being buried for us, for rising for us, for ascending for us, for interceding for us, and one day you will come for us. And for all of that, Lord, we say, praise your holy name. We ask you now to forgive us of our sins and anything that would hinder us from receiving your word as we should. We pray, dear Lord, forgive. We pray for understanding of your word. We ask you to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying even now. We pray your blessing upon the internet system, upon Zoom, upon anyone trying to get in, Lord, that you will just bless this time. And we pray, Father, that you remove all hindrances and anything that would come up against us and your word, Father. You are greater. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we go forth in the name of Jesus. We pray not only for this class, but for every Sunday school class, for every life development class, for saints all over the world who are meeting together to hear the word, whether it's the taught word or the preached word. We pray your blessings upon each one. Now, Lord, take us forth and speak to us, Lord. We wait to hear from you. We pray for the absent part of us, those who want to be here but could not, for whatever the reason, we remember them in prayer. Now, Lord, we wait to hear from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, today we're continuing in Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 48. And Lord willing, on next week, we will start the next passage, which begins in Luke chapter 12, verse 49. So I encourage you to read ahead, do your own studying ahead, look for characters, look for key words, look for scene changes, and take time meditating on the passage that we'll be looking at next week. Of course, I'm meditating as well on the passage we'll be studying today. This is our concluding study, Luke 4, verses 21 through 28. So let's start, first of all, by reading that passage, verse 41, Luke 12. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So we say amen to the word of God. The word of God is true and steadfast, and the word of God will stand when heaven and earth has passed away. So it behooves all of us to take heed to God's word. Well, let's start out first of all by reviewing. We have seen that we are in Luke chapter 12, which is a chapter of instruction. Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure and for persecution that they will have to suffer. Jesus is preparing them as the early leaders and builders of the church, as those that the church will be built upon, Jesus being the foundation. That early church, and Jesus must prepare those disciples, apostles. And so he tells them in verses 35 through 48, he lets them know that he came the first time, and that's where he's talking here, but he will come again. So this is talking about the return of the Lord, and we are to be prepared. We are to be ready for the second coming of the Lord. That's in verses 35 through 40. Verse 40 says, be ready. But then in verse 41, we go on down, and we see in verse 43, where it says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing. So we are to be ready, and part of being ready is also we are to be doing. Well, what is it that we're to be doing? We're to be doing what God said to do. We're to be doing keeping his word. We're to be doing loving one another as he told us to love God first and then love one another. So we're to be doing what he says, keeping his commandments. That's what it all boils down to. Whether you're in the Old Testament, whether you're in the New Testament, it all boils down to keeping and obeying the word of the Lord. You're either obedient or disobedient. So here it tells us in verse 41, in verse 43, we'll find so doing. Well, what is it in this particular parable? Because this is a parable in verse 42. And we know about a parable. A parable is an earthly story. It's a little story, but it has spiritual meaning. And so Jesus tells this parable. And the parable is in verse 42, there is this master. And this master has servants. Well, he's looking for a faithful and wise steward. So one of the servants, the master, is going to make a steward. Well, what is a steward? Well, a steward is one who has been entrusted with the goods of another. Well, the goods in this place, in this passage, is the master's household. Verse 42 says, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household? So we see the master will say he's going away, going on a trip, whatever the scenario is. The master has a servant, and he's going to make him a steward to see about his household. The household still belongs to the master, even though the master delegates authority to this steward, to this servant. The household is still God's. So it is true with us. All that we have belongs to God. We really own nothing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are just lent it for a season. Everything we have, it belongs to God. Well, here in this passage, and one day we'll be held accountable as stewards, how we handle what God gave to us. And so this master, he makes ruler over his household, and the mission, the job description of the steward is he had one thing that he was supposed to do. He was to give the household their portion of food in due season. That's it. That's what the master commanded the steward to do, is to feed the household. And we talked about that last week. We talked about how that, yes, represents physical food, you know, physical food, of course, but it's a parable. It has spiritual meaning. So that means give them the word of God. And on last week, we found out, to those of you who have been called to teach, to preach, whatever capacity you may be in, to be a proclaimer of God's word over his people, make sure you give them food in due season. So this morning, we're going to move on, and we're going to concentrate now on the unfaithful servant. Well, verse 43 lets us know, because this servant, and I'm still talking about the faithful servant now, because this faithful servant, he did do what the master said. So therefore, in verse 43, he was blessed. And that's how you get blessed. You do what God says. You know, you can sing blessed, blessed, blessed all day. But unless we do what the Lord says, we're just fooling ourselves. Blessings come through being obedient to the word of God. And so this servant, he was blessed, because when the master came, he found that servant doing what he said. And then he received a reward. And that's what we want. We want to be doing what the Lord told us to do. And we're doing it right this minute. We're studying his word. He told us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He told us to study to show ourselves approved. He told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So here we are together in class. You can study on your own, but then there is a time we come together, and that's what we're doing now. And so that servant who was obedient, he receives a great reward, because in verse 44, it says, "Truly, I say to you, that he, the master, will make him," that's the steward, "that will make him ruler over all that he has." And so he received a great promotion by being obedient to the word of God. And so we want to do this in this life. The full reward will come on the other side. That's when the full reward for the work that we have done in Jesus' name, it will be given to us on the other side, at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we will receive our rewards. Now we're going to concentrate the balance of our time on this unfaithful servant. More verses are committed to the unfaithful servant. And it starts in verse 45. And we found out on last week that there are really four different scenarios in this passage. There are four different men, we'll say, four different stewards, four different ways they handle their stewardship. There are four different judgments. There are different rewards or punishments. And so the faithful steward received a reward because he was obedient. Now we're going to look at the unfaithful servant. And what's the dividing line? It is obedience. The unfaithful steward did not do what the master said. So we're going to find out, for the unfaithful one, instead of them being blessed, They were, we'll find out, eternally damned, eternal damnation. And that's how serious this is. Last week we went to Luke chapter 6 and we saw you're either blessed or you're either on the woe side. You're either on the blessed side or you're on the cursed side. You're either part of the good tree or part of the bad tree. You're either good man or bad man. Now there's a lot more that could be said about that because none of us are perfect. We are growing in grace. But we fall still either on one side or another, obedience or disobedience. Even if when we fall in sin, our obedience, or if we sin, and we do, we confess our sins. We're confess our sin. You want to be quick to do that. But even if you linger in sin, the Holy Spirit, He'll be there to convict and to let you know that you are wrong and we need to repent. Well, for the unfaithful servants, they were disobedient. And that's what we're going to find out. Now, what I'm getting ready to teach now, starting in verse 45, going on down to verse 48, I want to preface it by saying this is not a pleasant passage of the word. No one will get happy on this. No one's going to shout. No one's going to say hallelujah. You don't hear it. You don't hear this proclaimed much because it's not a popular part of scripture. Because for the most part, we want to hear what makes us feel good. We want to hear those things that tickle our ears. We want to hear those things that lets us know everything's going to be all right. But I'm committed to being that faithful steward. And you all have to be that too. If God wrote it in His word, then I am obligated by God. I personally would prefer if we just go on over to Luke chapter 13, you know, or another passage, but I can't skip over this. And so some of you, I hope not, but it may be that some of you may be offended by what's getting ready to be said in these verses. They are very harsh words. They are damning words. There's eternal condemnation in these words. So some of you may say, well, Sister Velma, she's too harsh. She's always talking about damnation and judgment. Well, that's a lie. You all who've been with me, that is a lie. But when we come up on it in scripture, I'm committed to saying it because God put it in His word. You know, He put the bitter and the sweet. It's a two-edged sword. We have to use both edges of that sword. And so if you're offended, I can't apologize. It's the word of God. Some may want to mock. And, you know, this is one reason some do not proclaim the whole word. It's because of the fear of man. They fear man more than God. And we don't want to offend man. So therefore, some things don't get said. We want to be in good with people. Well, you're either going to do what God says and offend some people, or you're going to do what God says and please God. And in Luke chapter 12, that's how this Luke 12 started out. If we go back to verse 5, Luke chapter 12, verse 5, and it says, verse 4, Luke 12, 4, and I say to you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear Him, God, who after He has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear Him. And so I preface today's study by saying, you may criticize me, you may talk about me, you may say, Sister Velma, she's always talking this and that. Say whatever you will or may. I'm committed to teaching the word of God. And you all who have been called, do that. It's really an act of love that God would put this in His word. It was love that told Adam, don't eat of the tree of knowledge, because in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That was a warning to him. That was a warning out of the love of God. And it also was a test of obedience. So this passage here is not a pleasant topic. You don't hear it talked about much. You don't hear much said about judgment. You don't hear much said about we have to go to judgment. You don't hear much about the wrath and the anger of God, but it's still true. And so this passage, let's look at it here in Luke 45. We've already read it, but now we're coming on to these unfaithful servants. So we have seen this passage splits into two. There's the faithful servant. He did what God said, and he was blessed, and he was rewarded. That's in verses 42 through 44. But then we get to verse 45 and 46. So let me read it again. Verse 45 says, if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk. All right, so that's the description of this steward, of this servant. He did not do what the Lord told him to do. He was disobedient. So how was he disobedient? Well, first of all, that servant says in his heart. Well, that's first of all, because we found out, if you go back to Luke 12, verse 16, Luke 12, 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? And then the parable goes on. Well, the fault of that man and the fault of the unfaithful steward is, as verse 45 says, he said in his heart. So he's being dismissive of the word of God. He's coming up with his own wisdom and his own counsel. He's his own counselor, not listening to the word of God, not listening to the warnings of others. He's convincing himself. And we can relate to that. If you want to do something, if you sit around and talk with yourself, you can justify doing anything. If you counsel with yourself and the word of God will say, that's wrong. And then you'll say, but so-and-so, or you'll be dismissive of the word. We don't want to be doing like that. That's dangerous, dangerous territory. So this man, he said in his heart, he was his own counselor. He was his own jury, judge, all of it. He decided, I'm going to do what I want to do. And so now his words, because he's talking to himself, and he says, my master, you know, that's the same master we talked about earlier, which represents the Lord. My master is delaying his coming. Well, yeah, because Jesus already let us know. You don't know when I'm coming. I can come at the morning. I can come at noon. I can come at night, but I'm coming back. But he didn't tell us when. And so this servant says, well, I've been hearing that all my life. I've been hearing Sister Velma say, Jesus is coming back. I've been hearing preachers say, Jesus is coming back, but he has not come back yet. So he's dismissive of the word of God. He is scorning. He's a mocker. He's mocking the word of God. He's saying, yeah, I heard that, but the master, he ain't never coming back. He's delaying his coming. See, what he's doing now is making light of the word. He's dismissing the word. He's being his own counselor and getting ready to justify his actions. So he says, my master is delaying his coming. Let's go to a scripture here, hold Luke, but let's go on over to 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter, which is to the right. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's to the right a little ways. 2 Peter chapter 3. After Hebrews, I'm trying to get there. Hebrews, James, 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, 2 Peter 3, 3. And it says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And that's what we're going to find out what happened to this first unfaithful steward. He was a scoffer, And then it turned around. He did according to his own lust. Verse 4. And he said and sang, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so that's what the unfaithful steward said. He said, yeah, I've heard this. I've been hearing this all my life. Where is the promise? Jesus has not come back yet. All things are still going the same way. Life is still going as it has always gone. And it goes on talking about the scorner and the mocker. And then it tells us in verse 9. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack. Well, first of all, verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. So in other words, well, let me keep reading. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. But God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, there's another all there, that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. All right, let's go back to Luke chapter 12. And so this man dismisses the word of God, and he says, oh, the Lord, he's not coming back. And so this man, out of his own will, you know, he knew something about the Lord coming. See, a lot of people, they don't know, this is something we as Christians know about, and many have heard about it who are not Christians, but it's something that believers talk about, is the coming of the Lord. So I would say this man, we don't know if he was a worker in the church, we don't know if he was over people, but he could have very well been one of those false prophets, because he had this amount of theology in him, but he began to water down the word of God. He began to, on his own, change, as it were. No one changes the word of God. What he did was fool himself. And so he says, verse 45, I'm back in Luke 12, my master is delaying his coming. And he begins. Now see, now that he's changed his theology, he's changed changed the word of God. See, he's justifying what he's getting ready to do. Because now he says, well, since Jesus is not coming back, in other words, there's not going to be any judgment. You know, because that's what's going to happen, is judgment. Well, I don't have to worry about judgment. I don't have to worry about being held accountable. I can do whatever I want to do. Because the master, he's the land is coming. And so that is the lie. And it is the lie that Satan told in the garden. It's the same lie. You all know the lie that Satan told in the garden. He told Eve, you can sin. Go ahead, take a bite. In other words, you can sin and get by with it. That is the lie. You will not be held accountable. You won't have to give, you will not be judged for it. Go ahead, take a bite. You'll be just all right. So that's the lie from the beginning, and it works out in myriads of ways in people's lives. And so the master, after he had changed his, this man here, after he has changed his own theology, now he begins. He begins to beat the male and female servants. That's why I could say this man was over some people. God had made him to rule over that household. And that's why I could believe this could have been one of them false prophets, one of them false teachers, one of those hirelings who didn't really care about the people. And he abused people. He beat those people. He beat them. He wasn't supposed to be beating them. What was he supposed to be doing with the people? He was supposed to be giving them their portion of food in due season. Just give us the word of God. Don't beat me. And there are that plays out in myriads of ways as well. And so he began to beat the male and female servants. Well, that's a whole lot of wrong with that. But the ultimate reason is those were God's people. Those were the Lord's people. He had no right to beat any of God's sheep, any of God's people, anybody, period. He had no right to beat those servants. And then after he beats the servant, now he becomes self-indulgent. It's all about him. He makes himself an idol. He's dismissed the word of God, but he's going to see about himself. But what about those male and female servants that you're supposed to feed? Maybe he did feed them something, but you can be assured if he beat them, he didn't care nothing about them. And if they got any food, I bet it was different than what he got. And so after he beats them, then he eats. That's all messed up. He's supposed to see about the people. That's what servants do. Real ministers see about the people under them. They don't feed themselves first. They see about the people. And so this man here in verse 45, he begins to eat and drink. And then his self-indulgence went overboard and be drunk. That's what this man did. And so he was the first unfaithful steward. Well, now we're going to see what's happened in verse 46. You know, you can buy into a lie, but God's word will stand. And that's why we all have to take heed to the word of the Lord. Verse 46. Because I've even heard, let me say this by the way, I have heard some Christians or some so-called Christians, and they may be, but I've heard it and it's been said more than once. Oh, just ask God to forgive you. Go ahead and do it. He'll forgive me. Well, that's dangerous territory too. You know, God is not to be played with. He's not to be mocked. It is true that the Lord will forgive us our sins, but we have to have a repentant heart. We just can't go, oh, he'll forgive me, yada, yada, yada. Just ask him to forgive me and make light of sin. So verse 46, now here's the rest of what happens to this man. The master of that servant will come. Uh-oh, trouble now for him. The master of that servant will come when? On a day when he is not looking for him. And see, that's Jesus coming as a thief in the night. The man had eaten, the man was drinking, and the man got drunk, and the man had beaten people. And when Jesus did come, but the master did come, but he came as a thief because this servant was not looking for him. He said, yeah, Jesus, the man is coming. Well, he did come back. And that's what matters. So the master came on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware. He got stupor. He got in a stupor. He bought into that lie. You know, people still buy into lies and they believe those lies because if you keep messing with a lie, you know, that's Satan's objective is to believe the lie. And at an hour when he is not aware, now here comes the judgment. You know, that fits in with our all sin, all die, all will be raised, all will be judged. Now here comes the judgment here. Now his judgment was, and this is the harsh part of the scripture. You know, it's hard to teach, it's hard to say, but it's God's word. So the master came back, and here's the man's judgment. That should have been caring for those people, but he beat up those people. Look what happens to him. When the master came, judgment time, he did what? He will cut him in two. Now you need to think on that a minute. That's a horrible thing to be cut in two. What do you mean cut in two? It means exactly what it says. This man, however the master did it, and he is the master, and this man had mistreated God's people, and you do reap what you sow. You know, people may do wrong on this earth, and many do, but you will reap what you sow someday. It's best to do people right. There has been many of people that have beaten people in many ways that they were supposed to be taking care of them, but judgment day will come. And so judgment day came for this man, and this man was cut in two. Now, when you think about that, the man now, that body, the body is compact, is one. The body has many members, but we have one body. Everybody out here has one body. So this body of this man was cut in two. And then the man, you know, that he became, you know, I don't even know how, you know, just meditate on that word. It's harsh enough to see there, cut into, dismembered, disjointed, separated. The man became divided and separated. And God is doing the separating. And then the man, he really had it made. If he just would have done right, the master of the household had given him a good position. Thus feed the people, take care of the people. So he had it made. But because he didn't do what was right for the people, now he receives another assignment from that same master. You know, God can put you up and God can put us down. So we want to be on the right side with the Lord. So it says here, appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now that means this man ended up, you know, appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. This man ends up eternally damned, eternally condemned, eternally in hell. He ends up in hell. And we're going to find out all of these three unfaithful servants. This is a type, this is a picture, a parable of what will happen ultimately if you're not obedient unto God. It's either you do what he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That does not mean we are perfect people, but we are pressing towards the mark. We are saying, help us, Lord. Shape me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to do what's right. Now, I also need to preface this passage by saying, we who have been born again, really born again and love the Lord and love Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. This is a horrible passage, but we can be at rest. God will never cut his children in two. God does not cut his children in two. God does not beat us, because that's what's going to happen with the next man. At verse 47 at the end, it says he will be beaten with many stripes. Well, God's not going to beat any of his children. He will chastise us, though. He's going to correct us. He'll do that. But God's not going to appoint us the portion with unbelievers. God's not going to disown us. God's not going to dismember us. Once you're in Christ's body, you're in it eternally. So we don't have to fear. But on the other hand, we need to still take this very seriously, because the fruit of really being born again is doing what God said to do. That's evidence that you've really been born again, is you want to please God. Now, you have to be careful and counsel with the word. Don't counsel with your own mind. Don't counsel with TV. Don't counsel with the world's knowledge and the world's wisdom. You have to stay in God's word to see what he said. But for Christians, we don't have to fear. Praise the Lord. Well, why not? Why come we don't have to fear? Because of what? Jesus. Jesus, you know, he is the one that took our wrath. He is the one that took our judgment. He is the one that took our punishment. But we had to do what? Repent of our sins. There must be repentance. There must be a sorrow for sin. You need to hear. We don't hear a lot about it. You don't hear a lot about sin. But in order to be saved, the sin issue must be dealt with. And so for us who are born again, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Jesus has borne our sins. Jesus has borne our judgment. When he looked into that cup, you all know the cup, he didn't want to take that cup. He said, Lord, God, if it's possible, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Well, what was in that cup? All of our sins. And the judgment and the wrath of God and the anger of God. So when we look at verse 46, you can see this is a severe thing. God is no plaything. You know, even Christians play play too much with God. He is to be reverenced. He is to be revered. And he's to be feared, but not in the sense of we will lose our salvation, but we still say, Jesus, keep me near the cross. And so the same master who will bless with good, he's the same one that has the power to cast into hell. And that's what he did in verse 46. And for the remainder of this passage, 46 through 48, I believe these are different degrees of hell. There are different degrees of judgment. There are different degrees of condemnation. They are all bad. Now, for us who are Christians, let's look at a couple of scriptures. We all ought to be shouting because all of us have done these same things that these men we see will do. All of us have, in our own ways, in different times, have done, dismissed, as it were, for whatever reason, the word, and convinced ourselves and went ahead and sinned. But it was God's grace. Thank God for his grace that he didn't cut us down. Now, did I give you a scripture? I don't know if I did or not. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm not sure if that's what I want or not. But let me look at my notes here real quick. But while I'm looking for my notes, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at that. Now, we want to see God is holy. You know, why is God, because I'm praying, Lord, bring that scripture I want to me. God is holy. God is just. And God is righteous. And that means what? Sin must be dealt with. Sin, one way or another, must be dealt with. Because God balances the books. And he said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So that sin brings death. And that judgment, death, and then eternal damnation. God's wrath must be poured out. Well, for the Christian, for the believer, our wrath, you know, Jesus, we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. I think that's how it goes. He washed me white as snow. So somebody must pay for sin. Somebody has to pay for sin. That's God balancing the books of his justice. If you sin, there must be a payer. Then on the basis of Jesus's blood, now we can be forgiven. God just can't say, oh, that's okay, Belmont. That's all right. You had a bad day. No, God can't do that. God is so holy that someone must pay for sin. So we look to Calvary, and it was at Calvary that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Let's go to Isaiah 53. We may get back to Corinthians. We may not. But let's look at Isaiah 53, very common passage. Isaiah 53. Now, this may not be our concluding Sunday on this, and it may be. We'll see. Isaiah 53, Isaiah in the Old Testament. I'm going to go ahead because time is moving on. But Isaiah 53, starting at verse 4, talking about Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten. You know, that's those beaten. He took those stripes. Jesus was beaten, so we wouldn't have to be beaten. But somebody must pay for sin. Jesus was smitten. Look who smit him. It was the master. It was the father. It was the master, God, paying for our sins being paid for in Jesus. So we wouldn't be beaten with many stripes. So we wouldn't be beaten with many stripes. Jesus, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's what the believer says, because all of us have sinned. But Jesus bore our sins, and he bore our judgment. And the next verse says, verse 6, you all, you know, you really can't read that and hear it without it touching you and affecting you in some way. And for the believer, we say, thank you, Jesus. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep was like that unfaithful servant. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned. That's what the man did. He turned from the word and made his own word. All of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us, to our own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. So Jesus bore our wrath. That's why we don't have to fear. That's why there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And then the scripture goes on. And verse 8 at the end says, for the transgressions, for our sin, for the transgressions. You all, I'm looking at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? He was cut off. Y'all know that faith, that first unfaithful servant? He was cut. He was cut in two. And Jesus was cut off. He wasn't cut in two, but that body, what he had to go through. But Jesus was cut off from the land of the living. Why? For the transgressions of us, my people, he was stricken. And then it goes on with the burial, and they made his grave with the wicked. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12. There are other scriptures, but let's go back to Luke 12, because time is moving on. And so this unfaithful servant, he didn't do what the Lord said. He didn't do what he said at all, and he had to reap what he sowed. You know, when you reap what you sow, it lasts, it comes back bigger, and it lasts longer, and it comes back in unexpected ways. And for this man, who played around with the word of God, beat up the people. Okay, you going to beat the people? I get you. I know how to get you. I'll cut you in two. And that's because God's holiness. Someone must pay for sin. And for us, it's Calvary. Jesus paid it all. He paid for my sin. For the unbelievers here, well, if you don't repent, you must repent. You know, like I said, we're not hearing that word, but God commands everyone to repent. You have to know that you are a sinner. And on the basis of that, then you believe with your heart. And then you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But there must be an acknowledgement, I have sinned. That's the only way you can be forgiven, is by acknowledging sin and then thanking God for providing Jesus to pay the price for sin. And so this man cut off, appointed to hell. He was cut off. And if you read the parallel passage in Matthew 24, it ends with saying, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he ends up in hell. Well, so it is with the next servant, verse 47. Well, this next servant in verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will, he knew the master's will, but he did not prepare himself. No, that sounds, who knows the master's will? Well, that would be, it's hard to say it, but it's true. Those who hear the master will for a big portion is people who are in church, and even those who are in the Bible. They know the master's will, but their life doesn't change. Did not prepare himself or do according to his will. Knew what to do, but didn't do it. And so the judgment comes, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now this man, his judgment was not as severe as the first man, but he still ended up lost. Still ended up beaten with many stripes. Still ended up, you know, it's a different degree of judgment. There will be different rewards in heaven. Some will have more rewards. We'll all be in heaven, but some will have more rewards than others. There are different degrees even in hell. Different degrees in hell. And we saw that earlier. We have 4 minutes. Let's go back real quick to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, where there are different degrees of hell and different degrees of judgment. Luke chapter 11, verse 29. Luke 11, verse 29. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here." So in other words, this Queen of the South, she repented after hearing the wisdom of Solomon. And here Jesus is walking with them and they rejected him. Their judgment and hellfire for them, their punishment will be greater. They are different degrees. Okay, so back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we have 4 minutes here. So let me keep going here. The second servant, he was knowledgeable. He knew the word. He had heard the word, but he neglected it. He didn't do it. He didn't change his life. He went on doing what he wanted to do. And as a result, he had to bear his own sin. And that's what I was trying to say earlier. Someone must pay for sin. So either Jesus becomes our substitute. Jesus becomes our atonement. Jesus becomes our justifier. We are justified. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But if you don't have Jesus as your covering and are clothed in him and washed in the blood, then guess what? You have to bear your own sin. And because you cannot pay for it, it will be eternal damnation. And that's how holy God is. It's not that God is hard. It's just do what he says. That's what it boils down to. But if you don't obey and trust in Jesus, that's first, really believe and trust and follow him, then you bear your own sin. Now, this last servant here, he's in verse 48. He didn't know what to do. But he who did not know, he didn't know right from wrong. But yet he committed things deserving of stripes. So the man didn't know right from wrong, but he still was a sinner. He still committed sins, and somebody still must pay for sins. Didn't trust in the Lord Jesus. He didn't repent of his sins. So he ended up having to pay for his own sins. And that's another level, another degree in hell, eternal judgment. He was beaten with few stripes. And that's because he didn't have the knowledge that the other man had. So God judges based on our degree of knowledge, based on our degree of accountability. God will hold us accountable. And that's what the end of verse 48 is saying. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. So that lets us know, us in class today, we are without excuse. We've heard the word. It behooves us to do the word. Now, I want to find some scriptures that I have because they are, let's see, it's 9:54. So let me just go on into prayer. And I'll, Lord willing, I'll put those scriptures on the Zoom invitation this week. We want to end by saying we thank God for Jesus and be obedient to the word of God. If God is convicting you of something, get it right. Seek forgiveness, forsake your sin, and flee to Jesus. That's the only safe road, is to trust and obey. That's an old hymn. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, giving glory to your name. And we thank you for John 3:16 that tells us you so loved the world that you did give your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you didn't send your Son into the world to condemn us, but to save us, Lord. And so we want to say thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, for taking the cup and drinking it in full and paying the price for sin until you could say it is finished. Now we ask you to be with us and keep us in your care until we meet again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise Amen. God. Thank you, Sister Amen. Velma. You were great.
Thank you.
Oh, well,
excellent.
You are, oh, Amen. You are so that was a word this
it's
morning.
It's a serious
wonderful lesson.
Serious word.
Yeah, it's a serious word. Okay, so I didn't find my scripture. That's okay. Evidently, God didn't want us to go that way. So God bless everybody.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
I'm sorry.
Have a good day, everyone.
Same to you. Yeah. Stay cool.
Please. Probably a challenge.
Yes, it was a powerful word.
Yeah, that makes you think, yeah, who wants to go there? You know? Why?
Yes.
Thank God.
Thank you, Sister Velma.
Is Sister Cole with us today?
Uh-huh.
Well, she knows all those songs I mentioned.
Yes,
Amen.
Jesus,
I know.
Yes, she knows it.
Jesus paid
Amen.
It all. Trust and obey.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God right, bless everyone. I hope to see you next week. Look for this week's invitation, and I have some scripture references. And next week,
thank you.
To the next passage.
So thank you.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
All right. Gotta go. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. That was a beautiful lesson, wasn't it, Miss Sadie?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.